One of the things I've noticed since I become a bishop is people are afraid to ask me why I wear that funny hat to church, unlike my wife, who always wears beautiful hats. The tradition of the mitre goes back a long ways, but is especially appropriate to talk about it today, which is the day of Pentecost. You heard the reading of the Pentecost story from Acts of the Apostles. Well, the reason the bishop, there are two explanations of why bishops wear mitres. One is the sort of practical, that it was adopted from a Byzantine court hat that signified an important office. And there is some truth to that. But there was also a spiritual image that went with it. Until we got them decorated within an inch of their life, the bishop wearing a mitre was a reminder of the tongue of fire. The day of Pentecost, the community became a spirit-filled community on that day. And so that the tongue of fire was not a one-time occurrence, but continues to be unfolded on the community of faith beyond time into every moment. And the Spirit fills the church, every corner, every nook, every life. And so as we heard in the psalm, it is about renewing the created order. God is about renewing the created order. Now, if you watch the news this morning, that might surprise you. Things don't seem like they're being renewed very much, do they? And yet, on Pentecost, the apostles who had been locked in that room for 50 days from the resurrection, who were afraid to go out for fear of what might happen to them, for fear, quite frankly, that what happened to Jesus might happen to them. Oh, it was great that he was resurrected and with him, but you never know, it might happen to us too. And all of a sudden, something changes. We hear it in the story, it's unexplainable. The room is filled with a great wind, not unlike the wind we heard last night in the storm, except it was inside. The storm was inside the room, not outside. And then those tongues appeared over their heads. The interesting thing about that is nobody knew if they had one. Somebody else had to tell them, because only someone else could see it over their head. And that wasn't the end of it, was it? This was a great festival in Jerusalem. Jews from all over the world had shown up. And so we get the description of the Jerusalem phone book in the reading today. Elamites, Perizzites, Ites, all over the place. And what happens? 11 relatively uneducated men speak their languages. I mean, some of us are still at the point where English is our first language. And in our only language, barely, let alone to speak in an unknown tongue and make sense. How do we explain it? How do we explain it? The crowd wanted a logical explanation, didn't they? You know, they said, oh, you know those Galileans. They're probably blasted already by 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, they like wine. What can you say? And of course they weren't, were they? They were filled with the Spirit and finally driven out of that room by the Spirit and into the street to do what? To tell the story of Jesus. I mean, this is one of the interesting things. You better be careful about this Holy Spirit thing, especially since we're doing baptism today, where we talk about the Spirit a lot. The Spirit drives a lot. The Spirit is very pushy because it wants to renew the face of the earth. Think about what happened in that moment. Thousands of years of salvation history came together in that moment in that room and undid one of the great sins of humanity. The Spirit bounded over the sin of Babel. That languages that had separated human from human were somehow overcome in that moment so that all could hear that message. We claim to be people of the Spirit. We say it over and over in our baptismal rite, and we will say it with some direct push, like the Spirit today, when we anoint these children, and we say, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism." That's the pushy Spirit at work again, and marked as Christ's own forever. Not just for now, not just for next week, not till they're 16. You're not free then. But forever, forever, forever. The Spirit leaps over the limits of what it is to be human into eternity. And the good news is that the Spirit takes us with him or her, depending on your perspective. You and I are a Spirit-filled community called to be a part of God's renewal of all of the creation. When you look at the world, you see terror and destruction. Most recently in Texas, it's hard to believe that God is renewing the face of the earth. And yet, even in the midst of all that pain, God shouts from the 21st chapter of the Revelation to John, "Behold, I am making all things new." Not "I'm going to," "I did," "I was," but "I am." It is being renewed. And you and I are called to be instruments of that renewal, to move into our everyday life and to leap over all the barriers, like the language barrier, the economic barrier, the racial barrier, the sexual barrier. The list goes on and on. Our job is to jump over them as the Holy Spirit does and fill it with the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is at the center of this, while the Holy Spirit is the agent moving us, pushing us, blowing us out of our comfortable pews into a world that is in enormous pain. It's hard to believe that God would make somebody like me an instrument of renewal. But he did. In the moment of my baptism, he did that to you. The key is whether or not we will leave this place and be instruments of unity, willing to leap over barriers of division wherever we go and talk about the wholeness of the created order in Christ. We recite this in the Creed all the time, don't we? We talk about one. We believe in one God, one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, one. The Spirit is the thread that runs through your life and mine, blowing us out into the world to be instruments of renewal. When I was in seminary, I had a professor who always liked to do these little pithy sayings when he lectured us, sitting on his desk cross-legged. It's kind of hard in moral theology to think straight when somebody's cross-legged on the desk. But one of the things he said one day, he said, "You know, someday everything's going to be everything." And I thought at the time it was the most ridiculous thing I had ever heard of. But as I reach the sunset days of my life, I've come to realize he was right. The Spirit moves us into a world where everything is becoming God's. That the Spirit is moving through the creation and renewing it, even when we don't cooperate. Even when the rest of the world doesn't cooperate, God is renewing the created order so that it will be as he created it to be, that everything will be connected to everything. Our job as human beings is to ameliorate all the disconnections that we can find as we go through life. It's a big job, but you're not on your own. You have been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, which we are reminded about again today. While I can look out and I can't see tongues of fire over your head, I can know that they're there. The eyes of faith tell me that this church is filled with tongues of fire. and it's going to blow you out into the world because you are its hope. Amen.